Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing this week in our study from the book of Proverbs, some words to the wise. Today, we will take a look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Verse 24 reads, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." The book of Proverbs makes many references to the issue of the words of our mouths. More than any other place in Scripture, we find repeated references to words, to the power of the tongue, to the power of speech in our own lives as well as in the lives of other people. This particular verse, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones," gives us an indication of the power of words and how they can be very healing in the lives of another person. The word "pleasant" that's used in verse 24 means agreeableness or delight or grace or beauty. And words of grace, words of beauty, words of agreeableness are sweet to the hearer. They bring encouragement. They bring uplifting. They edify. They build up. They comfort. They console. And the scripture tells us they're literal health to the bones. You could say that pleasant words bring such an uplift to the inner man of another person that they will spark healing, physical healing as well as healing to the heart. Every single person has been given this gift of words, and those words can be used to be a blessing to others or to bring a curse or to bring discouragement. One of the most profound stories that I've ever come across was written by a school teacher by the name of Elizabeth Ballard. Elizabeth Ballard wrote these words, "Teddy's letter came today, and now that I've read it, I will place it in my cedar chest with the other things that are important in my life. I wanted you to be the first to know. I smiled as I read the words he had written, and my heart swelled with a pride that I had no right to feel. I have not seen Teddy Stollard since he was a student in my fifth grade class 15 years ago. It was early in my career, and I had only been teaching for 2 years. From the first day he stepped into my classroom, I disliked Teddy. Teachers, although everyone knows differently, are not supposed to have favorites in a class, but most especially are not to show dislike for a child, any child. Nevertheless, every year there are one or two children that one cannot help but be attached to, for teachers are human, and it is human nature to like bright, pretty, intelligent people, whether they are 10 years old or 25. And sometimes, not too often, fortunately, there will be one or two students to whom the teacher just can't seem to relate. I had thought myself quite capable of handling my personal feelings along that line until Teddy walked into my life. There wasn't a child I particularly liked that year, but Teddy was most assuredly the one I disliked. He was dirty, not just occasionally, but all the time. His hair hung low over his ears, and he actually had to hold it out of his eyes as he wrote papers in class. And this was before it was fashionable to do so. Two, he had a peculiar odor about him, which I could never identify. His physical faults were many, and his intellect left a lot to be desired also. But by the end of the first week, I knew he was hopelessly behind the others. Not only was he behind, he was just plain slow. I began to withdraw from him immediately. Any teacher will tell you that it's more of a pleasure to teach a bright child. It is definitely more rewarding for one's ego. But any teacher worth her credentials can channel work to the bright child, keeping him challenged and learning, while she puts her major effort on the slower ones. Any teacher can do this. Most teachers do it, but I didn't, not that year. In fact, I concentrated on my best students and let the others follow along as best they could. Ashamed as I am to admit it, I took perverse pleasure in using my red pen, and each time I came to Teddy's paper, the cross marks, and there were many, were always a little larger and a little redder than were necessary. "Poor work," I would write with a flourish. While I did not actually ridicule the boy, my attitude was obviously quite apparent to the class, for he quickly became the class goat, the outcast, the unlovable and the unloved. He knew I didn't like him, but he didn't know why, nor did I know, then or now, why I felt such an intense dislike for him. All I know is that he was a little boy no one cared about, and I made no effort on his behalf. The days rolled by. We made it through the fall festival and the Thanksgiving holidays, and I continued marking happily with my red pen. As the Christmas holidays approached, I knew that Teddy would never catch up in time to be promoted to the sixth grade level. He would be a repeater. To justify myself, I went to his cumulative folder from time to time. He had very low grades for the first 4 years, but no grade failure. How he had made it, I didn't know. I closed my mind to the personal remarks. First grade, Teddy shows promise by work and attitude, but has poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better, mother terminally ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy is a pleasant boy, helpful, but too serious. Slow learner. Mother passed away at the end of the year. Fourth grade, very slow but well-behaved. Father shows no interest. Well, they had passed him 4 times, but he will certainly repeat fifth grade. Do him good, I said to myself. And then the last day before the holiday arrived. Our little tree on the reading table sported paper and popcorn chains. Many gifts were heaped underneath, waiting for the big moment. Teachers always get several gifts at Christmas, but mine that year seemed bigger and more elaborate than ever. There was not a student who had not brought me one. Each unwrapping brought squeals of delight, and the proud giver would receive effusive thank yous. His gift wasn't the last one I picked up. In fact, it was in the middle of the pile. Its wrapping was a brown paper bag, and he had colored Christmas trees and red bells all over it. It was stuck together with masking tape. "For Miss Thompson from Teddy," it read. The group was completely silent, and for the first time, I felt conspicuous, embarrassed, because they all stood watching me unwrap the gift. As I removed the last bit of masking tape, 2 items fell to my desk. A gaudy rhinestone bracelet with several stones missing, and a small bottle of dime store cologne, half empty. I could hear the snickers and whispers, and I wasn't sure I could look at Teddy. "Isn't this lovely?" I asked, placing the bracelet on my wrist. "Teddy, would you help me fasten it?" He smiled shyly as he fixed the clasp, and I held up my wrist for all of them to admire. When they all had left, he walked up to me, clutching his gift and books to his chest. "You smell just like my mom," he said softly. "Her bracelet looks real pretty on you, too. I'm glad you like it." He left quickly. I locked the door and sat down at my desk and wept, resolving to make up to Teddy what I had deliberately deprived him of, a teacher who cared. I stayed every afternoon with Teddy from the end of Christmas holidays until the last day of school. Slowly but surely, he caught up with the rest of the class. In fact, his final averages were among the highest in the class, and although I knew he would be moving out of the state when school was out, I was not worried for him. I did not hear from Teddy until 7 years later, when his first letter appeared in my mailbox. "Dear Miss Thompson, I just wanted you to be the first to know. I will be graduating 2nd in my class next month. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard." I sent him a card of congratulations in a small package, a pen and pencil gift set. I wondered what he'd do after graduation. 4 years later, Teddy's second letter came. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I was just informed that I'll be graduating first in my class. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard. I sent him a good pair of sterling silver monogram cufflinks and a card. So proud of him, I could burst. And now today, Teddy's third letter. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. As of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? I'm going to be married in July. I wanted to ask you if you would come and sit where Mom would sit if she were here. I'll have no family there as Dad died last year. Very truly yours, Teddy Stollard. That story, as a poignant one as it is, demonstrates the power of pleasant words. This teacher, who had no pleasant words for this young student when she first encountered him, turned the whole situation around by beginning to pour pleasant words into this young man's life. And they literally became sweet to his soul and health to his bones. And they were life-giving. They were encouraging. It changed and impacted that young man so dramatically that this failing student, who looked like he would never amount to anything, ended up successfully becoming a professional, a doctor. This true story demonstrates Proverbs 16:24 so beautifully. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Be a person that is a giver of pleasant words everywhere you go. Be an encourager. Be one who builds up other people with your words. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.